Going to go ahead and get started. And I said we're going to start with a game. You should all have a card on your back. You don't take it off. Don't look. You should know whether it's there or not. You're not supposed to know what your card is. You're not supposed to tell anybody else what their card is. But in a few minutes, we're going to play a game. And I'm going to tell you what this game is. A game I like called Card Party. We are going to use all of this available space. You can go off into the wings. You can go up here in the auditorium, all right? You're going to use all of this open space, and I want you guys to, I want you to walk around. I want you to mingle. I want you to talk to people. I'd love it if you went up and talked to somebody that you have not talked to before this weekend. But here's the thing. I want you to interact with that person by the value of their card. So how you treat somebody with a high card might be different from how you treat somebody with a low card. You understand what I'm trying to say here? You are going to, I'm just giving the directions. And I want you to interpret those directions how you want to interpret those directions. All right? Aces are high. Aces are high. They're not low. All right? So, again, in a moment, we're going to spend some time. I want you to walk around in this open space and interact with each other. And that does mean that you're probably going to have to look at their card. But their card will impact how you decide to interact with them. Okay, and we'll probably do this for about maybe 10 minutes or so. And the other rule that I'm going to say is you can't stay in your seat unless you have a broken ankle. That might be the only exception. And I don't need anybody quickly breaking their ankles before this game begins. I'll never get invited back for that situation. All right, you're going to get up. And you are going to, and I want to walk around, all right? But we're going to go ahead and begin. Everybody stand up. Stand up. Start going around. Interacting.
Why are we discriminating by cards?
Well, let me see what you're, but because it's great. And if you need anything, you let me know.
Okay.
All right? If there's anything you need, I am here to help you. Let me know. Hi, how are you? It's good to see you. Oh, yes. And if you need something, let me know. I'm here to help you out. Hi.
Would it have to be someone like I haven't talked to before?
Which would be nice. Hi. Bye. Let's see. Hi, how you doing?
Okay.
What's great? Oh, yes. If you need something, you let me know. I'm here to help you out. I'm here for you, buddy. Okay? All right. All right, hey, how you doing? Listen, anything you need, I'm here for you. I'm here for you. I'm here to help you out. And you, hey, how you doing? Hi, how are you? Listen, hi, I'm glad you're here. Thanks for coming. Hi, what's up? You can be here. I'm glad you're here, but maybe you stand in the back. Hi, how you doing? Nice to meet you too. I'm glad you're here. Thanks for coming. All right. Hi, how you doing? I don't have one. Whatever. Gage, who let you in here? Who said you could even be here? You go stand in the back. What do you mean? I mean, you're here, and I'm glad you're here. Thanks for being here. All right. You're good. Hey, how are you? Oh, hey, man. Anything you need, I'm here for you. Okay? I am here for you. You got your cup. And hey, how are you? Hey, let me know. Okay. Anything you need, I'm here. I'm going to hang out. Hey, how you doing? Good to see you. You're here, and I'm happy, I guess. I guess you're happy here. About five more minutes, ladies and gentlemen. About five more minutes. Five more minutes. Turn up. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's transition back to our seats now. Don't take off your card. Don't take off your card just yet. Don't take off your card just yet, but I need everybody to transition on back to their seats. Let's transition back to our seats right now. Don't take off your card just yet. I will let you look in a moment. So, let me ask you a couple of questions. Who thought this was a great game? There's probably some people in here who thought this was a phenomenal game. Who thought this was an okay, it was an all right game, take it or leave it, right? Who thought this was the worst game they have ever played in their life? Who thinks that their card happens to be on the high side? Who thinks, Ethan, why do you think you have a high card? Why do you think that? Rule breakers. Who else? You think you have a high card?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I told someone that someone said that I should work for them, and then they said, but you're on the higher side.
So somebody said, I'll work for you? Did anybody offer that? What are some things that people said to you that makes you think you have a higher card? Yeah. You're my best friend. Can you be my best friend? I would love to have that. Okay, what did they say to you?
They were just very enthusiastic.
They were so enthusiastic to meet you, right? High card people, what are some things that people said to you? I'm your number one fan. I like that. Hello, Mr. President. I like that one. Clark, what do people say to you?
Mr. President, is that you?
Mr. President, is that you? Yeah, yes, sir. Oh, they're my king. They were bowing down to you. All right. Who thinks they have a low card? And what are some interactions that Mark? Someone said you belong in the dump? Oh, my goodness. Jenna, what was said to you? What did I say to make you think you have a low card?
You
And which is really mean to say to a cripple. Yes, what did somebody say to you? If you're the last person on earth, I would not follow you? Ouch.
People told me to get lost.
They told you to get lost. Yes, sir. Yeah. Oh, I did. I did told you to sit in the back, didn't I? Yes, ma'am. They said you looked like a modern art piece. You guys are just imaginatively cruel. Yes, sir. Oh, somebody said, go get me a drink. I tell that to you. All right. Yes, sir. They pushed you away? How dare they? Gage. Pathetic trash. Okay, here's what I want you. Okay. Go ahead and look at your card now. Go ahead and take it off. All right, let me ask this question now. Did anybody think they were treated lower than what their card actually is? Somebody think like, listen, my card is not that low. Like, all right, so yeah, Mark, what is your card?
Five.
A five, and you're thinking you were treated below a five, right? Anybody else think that they were treated lower than what their card actually is? Yeah, Clark. All right, I guess technically you answered my question. Yeah. So what was your card?
I'm a four, and people were shoving me. Another person told them to stop, and then they looked at my card and told them to keep shoving me.
Oh, ouch. Ouch. Yes. Yes, ma'am.
I actively didn't talk to
anyone else. Yo, you loved that. Yes, you are going to find the loopholes to the game. I know you. Yes, sir. He says it's a six. It's not that low. He's surprised by that. Jenna. Not true. Yes, sir. So you were. Go ahead. Sorry. So really weird. It's hard if you're in that middle spot. Yes, sir. Ah, so you're thinking I was not treated high enough. It's actually, you think that's all right. Yes, sir. We're going to keep coming back that one.
I'm a seven.
You're a seven, and you thought, why am I being treated this way?
Yeah.
All right, let's do some analysis here. Is there any difference in how these cards have been made? These cards are exactly made out of the same material. They have the same types of artwork on it. Yes, sir. Is there something? Yeah, was there something you wanted to say? There's a little bit of difference on each card, but is the difference exterior or interior? Really? Is it obviously better? If the artwork on it were different, would that change the value for you? Okay, but it's made out of the same stuff. It's still cardboard. It's still ink. It's still, and really, yeah, kind of cardboardish, kind of paperish. And who decides? I mean, how did you decide how to treat that person? It was just based on exterior, right? It was just based on exterior. Where do you think I'm going with all this? What's the analogy? Megan? Did everybody hear what she said?
Yeah.
Made out of the same stuff. It's just the artwork that's different. Are there times in our lives where we might feel like a two? Are there times in our lives where we might feel like an ace? And a lot of times that might have to do with how people are treating us. Do you think you can look in a room and just kind of judge that person's probably having a bad day today? Can you pick those people out? A lot of times they're not all that hard. They might be having a 2 kind of day or a 4 kind of day. What do you think might be a really awesome thing to do for that person? Treat them like an ace. Treat them like a king. Or just go interact with them at all. Are there other thoughts or comments that you can have about this game? Yes, sir.
It's like you said earlier, even a little compliment can mean a lot.
Even a little compliment can mean a lot. Absolutely. Yes, sir. Absolutely. What is inside is infinitely more valuable than what is on the outside. I like that. There's probably some connections that you guys can make that I haven't even thought of. Any other thoughts or comments on this game? Let's process this some more. Any other ideas? Yeah, Zoe.
The way I played the game was slightly different and probably broke maybe a slight rule.
That's okay. Very good. Yeah, I gave you something, but you went with it. Yeah, yes, sir.
It was fun having a goal for myself. My goal was kind of to find all 4 games and bow down to them.
You made your own personal rules and your own personal game out of what was going on. Okay. Other ideas, other thoughts, other comments on anything? All right, so if you were a low-card person, remember that feeling. It didn't feel very good. Find those people. Find those people that you can help out, right? If you were that high card person and that felt really, really good, imagine how good it would be to help somebody else feel like that high card kind of person. But at the end of the day, really, there's no difference in the cards, right? It's all exterior. All right, so we're going to pause, and if there's more things you want to talk to me about that game later on, we can. But that's something I like to do, get us moving a little bit. We'll collect those cards later, probably at a later break. But we are going to go ahead and move on right now. We have been talking about our origin story and our author, who is... Very good. And if God's the author, that means who's not? Yeah, we're not the author. God sets reality. God sets truth. God sets the rules. Yes, ma'am? That's true. Are we treating God the way that he should be treated all the time by that? That's a good question. All right, a good statement. Thank you. What we're going to be talking about now during this session is I want to spend some time talking about what kind of story God is writing. Now, the Bible is filled with different kinds of genres. Can you find poetry in the Bible? Sure, you can find poetry. You can find just books of law that kind of read like code for your taxes in some places, like Leviticus and Deuteronomy. There's places where they've talked, or he's telling stories. He's telling things like Jesus is telling parables. There's sometimes where history is recorded, but remember, we're focusing on Genesis, when specifically verses 1 through 11. And what I want to know, or what I want us to realize, is that when it comes to Genesis, specifically 1 through 11, God is writing a historical story. What we read in Genesis is true. Open up your Bibles to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, and 46 and 47. I need somebody willing to read that for us. John chapter 5, verses 46 and 47. I saw Mark's hand first. Big voice for us, buddy.
For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, is that chapter 6?
Mm-hmm, you got it. So Jesus is talking about you should be believing what Moses wrote, right? Why is this verse important to us when we're talking about Genesis?
Because
Any ideas? Yes, sir. Because it's the stuff that Moses wrote. Moses wrote Genesis, right? Did we know that? Were you aware of that? The author, well, the author is God, but the guy who was holding the pen was Moses. And he wrote Genesis. And Jesus said, hey, if you're not going to believe what Moses wrote, why are you going to believe me? And what I want you to realize, this is what I want us to spend some time talking about. When God told Moses what to write down, it was not some myth. It was not some allegory. It was not some kind of poetry. He didn't tell Moses to write those things down because Israel, because this would have been after Israel left Egypt, right? Right? Because that's when Moses would have done that at some point. He wrote down Genesis. Israel has just come out of Egypt. But God didn't say, you know what? Their primitive brains are not going to be able to handle what really scientifically happened. So I'm just going to tell Moses to write some kind of story so that they have a sense of where they came from. That's not what happened. And yet you're going to hear people. You're even going to hear people claiming to be Christians. You're going to hear believers say that when they came out, you know, all they just kind of grew up in Egypt and all they heard were pagan stories. All they heard was pagan mythology. So what I, God, am going to do is I'm going to write another mythology that shows that I, God, am the creator of everything, but that's not really what happened. I'm just trying to counteract all of the pagan things that's happened to them. What do you think of that argument? What do you think of the people that say God was just writing a pagan mythology to explain to them what really happened to counteract the paganism that they were experiencing? Any ideas, any thoughts on that? Yes, sir. Okay, let's be respectful. Always going to be respectful. We can think what we think about their thoughts. Let's be respecting the people, right? But yes, sir.
What did it say? God doesn't love us if he didn't tell us?
Would that mean that God doesn't love us if he doesn't tell us the truth? That is a really, really great comment. Yes. What is your answer for what really happened, right? Sometimes we can put it back on them. This argument, well, actually, I'm going to back this up. Do you think that Israel, now think about it, this is like Adam has already happened. We've gone through the generations. The flood has happened. It's after the flood. Abraham has now existed. The nation has grown. He's got the family. We've got Isaac and Joseph. Joseph has gone to Egypt. He became second in command. All the family comes to Egypt. The nation of Israel grows and grows and grows and grows and grows and grows to the point where God sends Moses now. There's the 10 plagues. And finally, they come out of Egypt. That's a really long time, right? But do you think that by the time Israel left Egypt, do you think none of them knew where they came from? Even though Moses wrote it down, do you just think they didn't have any idea where they came from? How long did people live back in those days? Let's go back to our origin story, right? Genesis 1 through 11. How long were people living? I mean, it was hundreds and hundreds of years, right? Hundreds and hundreds of years. The population was just growing expansively because, you know, you live to be 800 years, you can have lots of kids. And so this population explosion is happening. And there's a lot of generations that overlap. Have you ever seen, we're going to talk about trusting the story. I meant to say that. I apologize. That's what we're calling this lesson, trusting the story. And we already read from John. Man, have you guys ever seen this chart before? Are you familiar with this? Yes, sir. Are you familiar with this chart?
Yeah. My grandfather was actually a servant here. He was trying to combat
Uh-huh. It could be a rut, yeah. That's absolutely true. But what I want us, that's a great point. Thank you for bringing that up. But what I want us to look at the lives that are overlapping each other. Adam lived for 930 years. And he and Methuselah overlapped for hundreds and hundreds of years. Do you think Methuselah could have gone and talked to Adam? Hey, tell me the story again. Tell me about how you were in the garden. Tell me about how God made us, where we came from. Methuselah could have spent hundreds of years getting the story from Adam. Because remember, guys, this is before the Tower of Babel. So everybody is generally in the same area. Methuselah is the grandfather of who? Noah. Methuselah is Noah's grandfather. They lived together for hundreds and hundreds of years. Do you think Noah and his family got on the ark not knowing the story of where they came from? Do you think they got on the ark not knowing that God created them? Then Noah gets off the ark, still lives another 350 years after the ark. And you know what's amazing to me? There is technically an overlapping between Noah and Abram, who we know is going to change his name to who? It is conceivable that Abraham talked to Noah because of how long people were living. Do you think that Israel, who was worshiping God in Egypt, had no idea what their God had done to create everything? Do you understand the point that I'm trying to make? For the people that say, listen, it was just a mythology because that's what Israel could wrap their minds around after years of pagan slavery, God has always talked to his people. He's always been there, talking to them, telling them what he's done and who he is. Thoughts or comments on this? Yes, sir, in the back, and then we'll come to you. That's true. Most likely, Methuselah did. True, true. That's a great, great point. But I want us to also, the story survive. Whether or not people were accepting or rejecting the story is something completely different. But the fact that nobody knew, and I'm saying story, the history of what actually happened, it survived. You were going to say something. Absolutely true. I want us to, listen, whether or not Israel was accepting God is different, but the idea that they just never knew about Genesis is what I want us to think about. You're right, because are there people that know Jesus and yet don't follow him? Sure, there's people that know God and don't follow him. I'm not so much talking about faithfulness as I am ignorance. They're not ignorant of the Genesis story, but you're all making wonderful comments. Thank you for that. Yeah. Does anybody know how long God has been living? Well, you just want to toss that grenade right on out there, do you? What do we think? What do we generally say about God? Evan? Go ahead. Yeah, listen, if we start thinking about God and God existing, man, it'll break your brain. Like I said yesterday, if I could explain everything about God, he would not be a God worth worshiping. But I'll tell you this, I think because of science fiction and geeky and nerdy stuff like most of us like, we can kind of wrap our minds around the concept of never ending, right? Living forever. All right, I think I might be able to understand that concept, maybe, but never having a beginning, I got nothing. I have no way that I can wrap my mind around somebody not having a beginning. And that's because God lives outside of time. All right? So this table represents time, right? Here's Genesis 1:1. Here is whenever Jesus comes back to judgment, all right? So this is all, let's say this table is all of humanity, but God doesn't live there. He lives out here. And his thing is, I can see everything at the same time. He can see all of time at the same time. Again, you think about it too hard, it's gonna break your brain. But how long has God been around? That we can't answer that because that's a time question, and God exists outside of time. And if you want to talk more about that later, we certainly can. Yeah, Gage.
With that, it's like if you had two mirrors across from each other, you can have the space in between them. That's time as we have it. And then if you look through the mirrors, you see
infinitely. Yeah. The mirrors facing each other. Yeah, there's a lot of really great analogies for time. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. And again, probably part of the author's design where we needed some long lives at the beginning so the population could grow. And then after the flood, after the reset, it wasn't. Yeah. Really quick. It's a lot of interesting things here. Yes, sir. Okay. Right.
So the dinosaurs must have gone on the ark, and there's actual parts of the Bible where it talks about dinosaurs being in the promised land, and they had to destroy the dinosaurs.
Oh, I'm not familiar with that. I want to stand up here and say I am not an expert on dinosaurs. I am not going to stand up here in this position with where I'm at right now and say definitively one way or the other about that. My goal is for us to look at whether or not mankind has ever been ignorant about where they came from. That's what I really want us to focus on. Man, dinosaurs are cool, and I bet you guys know so many more things than I do. I mean, there's different ideas that are out there. And something happened to them. God took care of them, and they went the way that the author wanted them to go. Yes, sir. Well, On some things, maybe. On some things, maybe. All right, I want to move on now. I want you to open up your Bibles now to Isaiah chapter 48. This is, I mean, this is again saying the thing that we've already said, but just kind of the last comment to kind of move on from this. Okay? Isaiah chapter 48. And I need somebody to read verse 16. A new reader. Yes, sir. Big voice. Isaiah 48:16. It, however you feel. If you want to do that, you can. All right. From the beginning, I have not spoken in secret. Again, I said this yesterday. I'm going to say it again. Remember, Adam didn't wake up in the garden and go, how did I get here? What is all of this? What's going on? Whoa, I guess I'll call you a woman. Where did you come from? That didn't happen. God has always spoken to man from the beginning. Yes, sir. Absolutely. I also, you know, we talk to Cain and Abel. We talk about Cain and Abel. One made an offering to God that was good. One made an offering to God that he rejected. Do you think that it was just God going, Abel, I'll accept that one? Do you think Cain and Abel were just guessing about their sacrifices? No, God has always said what he expected. He told his parents what he expected of them. So when it came to that sacrifice, I feel confident saying Cain and Abel weren't guessing. There was a choice that was made, and God accepted one and rejected the other, but they weren't doing that in ignorance. God has always spoken. All right, the New Testament treats Genesis like history. Remember, that's our goal. Our goal is to talk about those people that want to say Genesis 1 through 11, it's just an allegory. And I'll say this again, you're going to find people that claim to follow Christ. You might find people in your church that say, oh man, yeah, Genesis is great, but you know, that was just God given an allegory. That's not really how it happened. It was just God saying something. All right, but if that's true, we got to explain the New Testament, treating Genesis like history. Matthew chapter 19. Let's turn there now. Matthew chapter 19. This is probably a section that you've heard before. You're familiar with it. There are some people that want to trap Jesus, and they ask him questions about divorce. Is it okay to divorce my wife for any reason? There is a challenge about marriage. There are questions about marriage that God has designed from the beginning. And Jesus answers their question. Verses 4 through 8. Who's got it? Matthew 19, 4 through 8. Yes, big voice, sir.
He answered, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning is God? And those who are made them male and female, and said, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast his wife, and the two shall become one flesh?
All right, so we're talking about marriage. Is marriage something God takes really seriously? Amazingly seriously. The Bible begins with a marriage. It ends with a marriage. There is a marriage that's described between Christ and his bride. There's a marriage that's described between God and Israel. Marriage is pretty important to God. So this is something we better make sure that we understand. And when they wanted to know, hey, can I end my marriage for any reason? Does Jesus point back to a fairy tale for his answer? Would Jesus point back to a fairy tale that's not, well, you know, it's not real, but this is where I'm going to go to prove that God doesn't like it? Does that sound like something Jesus would do? Point to a fairy tale for a bedrock foundation of truth? Yes, sir, and then we're going to move on. Well, there's a lot of stuff that you've got in that statement there, but I will say this. There is a way that God wants marriage to be, and we are trying to, and there's a lot of people that are trying to grab the pen away from God and rewrite the rules how they want them to be. So in that case, there's a lot of ignorance, and I agree with you. But I want to look at Luke chapter 3 now. Let's go to a different place. Luke chapter 3. Remember, we're trying to argue against the people that say Genesis 1 through 11 is just mythology. It's not real. It's in the Bible, and it's nice that it's there, but that's not really how it happened. Genesis chapter 3, and go down to about verse 23. What do you see there? Luke. Luke chapter 3, about verse 23. What do you see? The genealogy of who? Jesus. How far down does the genealogy go? It goes all the way to who? God, actually. If you keep going through, it starts with Jesus, the son of, the son of, the son of, the son of, the son of. And doesn't it go all the way back to Adam? The son of Adam, the son of God. So let me ask you, if you believe Jesus is real, but you don't believe that Adam is real, tell me, where in that genealogy are you going to draw the line to say, oh yeah, this is where the fiction stops and the history starts? Where are you going to draw that line? Where are you going to say, just so you know, somewhere in here Luke started, you know, going into the mythology thing. If you believe Jesus was real, but you don't believe Adam was real, where in the genealogy of Jesus are you going to draw the line to say this is where mythology stops and fiction, you know, the fiction stops and the history takes over? The New Testament treats Genesis like history. Oh, and we looked at that, and we're not going to turn to Matthew 1 Corinthians 15 for the sake of time. But people are going to ask, isn't Genesis full of symbolism? What do you think? Is there things that symbolically represent other things in Genesis? Yeah, there is symbolism in Genesis. For instance, Adam goes to sleep. God opens up his side. When Adam wakes up, he has his bride. When Jesus died on the cross, what happened to his side? It was pierced. When he was resurrected from the dead and people started becoming baptized and we have his church, what do we often say the church is to Jesus? His bride. Jesus also was put to sleep for a little while, had his side opened up, and when he woke up, he had his bride, just like Adam. Yes, there is symbolism in Genesis, but that doesn't mean it's not real. My wedding ring is just a symbol. That doesn't mean my marriage isn't real. Doesn't mean this ring isn't real. It is symbolic and it's real all at the same time, because that's how good of an author God is. God can write a story that is 100% historically accurate and still be full of foreshadowing and symbolism because he knows how the story's going to end because he wrote the end of the story. So for the people that say, yeah, but Genesis is just full of symbolism. Yeah, I agree with you. Doesn't mean it's not history at the same time. Yes, sir. Thank you for that. Yes. So full of symbolism doesn't mean it's fake. We got to move on for the sake of time. I want to start end with this. So what does it mean for our story if it's not? What does it mean if Genesis 1 through 11 is not real? All right. God formed man out of the dust of the ground. God made woman out of man, brought this partner to him. Now they're man and wife. Satan enters the garden in the form of a serpent. He tempts them. They disobey. They eat from the tree they're not supposed to. What does it mean for us if that is not really what happened? Any ideas, any thoughts on that? If it's just fictional.
A lot of what Jesus says can be discounted as just relying on fiction.
If it is a made-up story, a lot of what Jesus said, we can kind of discredit. Like, yeah, but that's not how it really happened. So it's all fictional. So sorry. We can discredit some of the words of Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, it's all, yeah, how do we know? Yes, sir.
My whole life would be a lie.
Your whole life would be a lie. Why? Why do you think that?
Because that's our origin.
If my origin story is a lie, what does that mean for my life? Yes, sir. How do you know what truth is? Is your life, do you think your life is going to get a little confusing if your origin story is not reliable? Absolutely. Yeah, Megan.
Your whole, like, purpose of life would be fiction.
Your whole purpose of life would be fictional. Yes, sir. Exactly. No, you're right, but if the God that we know is not real, we have no reason to follow him. Maybe there's something I should have said at the beginning. There are people that will say, oh yeah, I believe in God. I just think God made up a story. There are people that say, oh sure, I believe in God. I just think, you know, God used evolution to make everything happen. And at some point history took over. You'll find people that say that. So what does that mean if that's true? Yes, sir. You want to follow up on that? Gotcha. I understand what you're saying. He is not the God that we thought he was. Somebody said at the very beginning, that means why would the God that loves us so much, why would the God that loves us so much lie to us? I'll tell you, the whole gospel falls apart. If the thing with Satan and the serpent and the apple is just a story, how did sin even enter the world? Can you explain that? What is sin? How would you define sin if that's just a story? How do we define any of that? Yes, sir. If we can't trust what he said about where we came from at the very beginning, can we trust what he's going to tell us about the end? God is faithful. There's promises that he made to us. But if the beginning starts off as a lie, do I have any confidence that if I follow what God said that I'm... No, I don't have any confidence in that because he's already started lying to us from the very beginning. Were you going to say something, sir?
Sometimes you can have verses because it's never like everybody
Okay, or like what? Well, maybe how we're defining sin can be different. Now, what people absolutely will disagree about what is right and what is wrong. There are some people that will say, I am right in this argument and you are wrong. You are right and you are wrong in this argument, I am right. However, God defines what truth is. And if as long as I'm doing what God says, that is 100% not sinful. If I'm violating what God said, then it is a sin. If somebody else is saying, hey, that's sinful, then I would say, okay, great. Show me in the Bible where you say that is sinful, because I'm just going to go by what God said. I know there's a lot of great comments, but I just want to move on. I think it's really good, and I'm thankful for you guys for having all of these wonderful comments. But now, can you tell a truth through a fictional story? Here, Jesus did it all the time. They were called parables. They were fictional stories that told the truth. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the bedrock foundation that everything else is built on. If God did not start humanity with a marriage, then we don't have an example for what God wants for marriage. If God really did not start with a man and a woman, but actually started with some amoeba in an ooze that became a fish, that finally became a monkey, then we don't have anything to say about gender. We don't have anything to say about sexuality. We don't have anything to say about what is truth in those areas if all these other things are wrong. Right? I can't tell you, let me tell you how you should live your life, and if you don't live this way, you're wrong. All right, what are you basing it on? Spider-Man. What? That's right. Thus saith Peter Parker. You don't follow that, you're going to hell. You're really going to judge all of morality on something Stan Lee wrote? Absolutely. That's the silliest thing I've ever heard. No matter how awesome Amazing Fantasy number 15 is, the origin of Spider-Man is not the origin of humanity. It is not the bedrock for all truth. If it's not history, I see your hand, buddy. We'll talk later, okay? If it's not history, truth becomes flexible. Sin becomes just a metaphor. And the cross becomes unnecessary. If we can't define sin, how do we define why Jesus died? We can't. And our purpose, and like Megan said, our purpose and our identity becomes lost. Guys, it is a big deal if people say Genesis is not real. It is a really, really big deal. There's some things in the Bible that I think you can have an opinion on, and you know, one way, hey, that's your opinion, that's fine, that's not really worth it. I will die on the hill that Genesis is actually history. Because I think to say otherwise, the rest of the Bible falls apart. It is a big deal to say that it's not actually history, all right? But here's the other thing I want you to think about. What is this a picture of? Wait, hold on. Are you certain that this is a dog? But dogs have two ears. This dog only has one ear. Do you still think it's a dog? Hold on, I only see three legs. Don't dogs have four legs? So you're still sure it's a dog? I only see one eye. Dogs have two eyes. Are you sure this is still a dog? Okay, so listen to me. You don't need all of the pieces of the puzzle to know what the puzzle is a picture of. Are you gonna have every question you could ever ask about God answered? No. Are you going to have every question you could ever ask about the universe answered? No. Are you going to have every question you could ever ask about Jesus answered? No. There's going to be some places where the puzzle pieces are missing, but there's still so much of the puzzle that we do have. There is still so much of the puzzle, enough that I can be confident of what it is a picture of. I don't have all the answers for Genesis. We can only theorize about the dinosaurs. Really, At the end of the day, we can only theorize about the dinosaurs. I don't have a definitive answer for those. I have some good ideas. I think there's some strong arguments. But I still have enough to know Genesis is history. I still have enough to know that God exists. I still have enough to know that Jesus rose from the dead. I don't have all the puzzle pieces. You will never have all the puzzle pieces, but you've got enough to know what it is a picture of. Thoughts or comments on anything before we start wrapping up? Do you have your hand raised, dear? No? Thoughts or comments on anything? All right. Here's the last thing. I know some of you are taking notes, and I'm really, really thankful for that. Here's the last thing I want you to know as we're wrapping this up. Genesis is not just a collection of symbols or ancient prophecy. It's the inspired history of how God created the world. It's how he set order. It's how he defined truth. He began his relationship with mankind. It explains that if we don't believe Genesis is real, we lose the foundation for everything else in Scripture. Guys, ever played Jenga? Yeah. Where do you start pulling from?
The middle.
The middle? You start pulling from the bottom? Y'all are dangerous Jenga players. Isn't it safest to pull it from the top? If I'm going to have it topple, there's a bigger chance I'll have it topple if I pull it from the bottom, right? Right? The foundation has got to be strong. And if everything, I mean, what did Jesus say about the wise man? House on the rock. What happened when the rains came down? It stood for, what happened to the foolish man? Splat. Guys, Genesis is the rock. Genesis is the foundation. If that's not really there, everything else is going to fall apart.